once again, Simon here, Canada Footy News, here with...
What's happening, it's Harry.
And Dylan Dodge.
And we did a live stream, tried to. Internet was a little spotty just because we're kind of in a bunker here, buried in between a couple things, so didn't work out quite as planned. We were watching the inaugural game of the CPL, Forge FC versus York out of Hamilton. Quite the game.
Yeah. Lots of fouls.
I think that's it's a good testament to the Canadian grit in this league.
Yeah,
it's already kinda... like the EPL style.
Yeah, final score game just ended minutes ago. Final score was 1-1. Goals from Cadel Thomas in the 79th minute for Forge FC. Ryan Telfer opened up a score 3 minutes in for York. And captain Manny Aparicio gets two yellows and a red card. A little bit of controversy in the second half. It looked like a pretty dirty
elbow
from Kyle Becker, captain for Forge FC, and no call, nothing.
Which is crazy. Watch the replay.
Yeah. Why do we not have VAR yet?
Why have we not?
First game of the season, we need VAR.
Yeah.
It was ugly though. Buddy on the sidelines was picking up the ball and drew his shoelaces in.
Oh, yeah, it was nasty. But we're here at Spruce Meadows, AKA Atco Field, the home of Cavalry FC, and in behind the camera, which we're not showing you right now, we're in the second half of the Foothills FC Cavalry FC game. Thoughts on the game so far, though?
I think Foothills has held their own. A little bit risky here by Tommy putting out the full Cavalry roster in the first half. We saw a handful of guys go down. The weather isn't great here. It was snowing to begin with. And it looks like there might be another one as we speak. It's kind of a rough game for a friendly between two teams that seasons start up pretty shortly.
Yeah, that was Tofa Fakunle. Looks like he got taken down there and is about to take a nice free kick. But in not a great position, off to the left side of the box, close to the corner flag. We'll get into the squads here a little bit. So like Dylan said, there's been some changes. What's gone on? Mason Trafford subbed off early, but second half. Looks like he did take a little bit of a knock. Whether if it was just precautionary, they pulled him off at that moment, which probably ideally...
You definitely are looking precautionary on that. And the weather. The weather definitely does not help any players.
Drier in the second half, though. Drier in the second half. It's looking all right out there.
So. Yeah, it did get a little colder, but we're inside a tent and we still feel that chill right now. But it's... Yeah, at least it's not raining. It looks like the sun's finally breaking through a little bit here. Foothills FC, just to kind of give you an idea of their lineup, because we've already mentioned this a couple times today, but nobody was listening. Erwin Peppel, number 18, 2002 born, for those doing the math, 16-year-old. Danny Pritchard, number two.
Sorry.
Another one? Who is that? Dean North.
They're getting stuck in. I love this.
Yeah.
Busher also going down in the first half as well.
That's right, yeah. And he seems to be okay. He's still out there now, second half. So it's good to see that he's match fit because he was not quite there. Nathan Mavilla was also not quite match fit, but now getting the job done. So back to the squad. Ewan Bold, number four. Will Akio back from the US, finally, number nine. Danny Harrison, Dylan, quite familiar with him.
Yep, Mount Royal captain, MVP of the season this year for the Cougars in the U Sports and Canada West League.
And we got Drake Rendell, a couple of years with Foothills FC. Last year he did not play, but he seems to be back this year. Danny Hayfield, a couple of years now we've seen him with Foothills FC. Coming back from out east, playing out in Halifax, actually, university ball out there. Tofa Fakunle, the man himself. Maybe a little disappointing that he is playing on the Foothills FC side.
Correct.
Instead of Cavalry, but we'll let Harry touch on, you know, thoughts on what Tofa, what we need to see at Tofa for him to make that push.
Well, for Tofa to make that push and actually land a squad or land a position with the squad in the CPL, is he has to show who Tofa actually is. If you know who Tofa is or if you followed him in the previous years, you wouldn't understand this kid is fast. He is a very skillful person. Amazing touches on the ball. I think it was just his size that held him back this season.
I think it was a little bit of you know, lacking game time from last year, where the squad was built for kind of the CPL team, and Tofa not getting as many minutes, so almost having to prove himself a little bit more this year. But he's a borderline.
You know, remember Tofa last year, when they were going for the win,
championship final.
Yeah. And they put him on, what was it, last 10, 15 minutes of the game.
It was,
yeah, and then he went into extra time. What does he do? Goes in and scores the 3-1 goal and assisted a 2-1 goal to give Foothills the win. So, I mean, obviously disappointing for him, but
it's always been good to see him keep his head high. He understands he will have a position and their position will open up for him.
The good part though is that in playing with Foothills, you know that Calvary is going to have eyes on him all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And they're training out of the same facility, yeah. Same building.
So it's going to be really, not easy, but you're going to have a great opportunity to still get eyes on you, even though you're not on that, original Calgary roster.
Yeah, exactly. Francesco Bartolillo, the Calgary boy, was playing out in Vancouver for the Victoria Highlanders in the past. So quite familiar on the PDL side with him. Quality player, good midfielder. And then we got Ben Jackson, number one, who's a new keeper that's just about a goal.
I wouldn't say that was a sitter, but that was pretty close. Yeah.
And another...
This is a great episode of the Banter Zone. Yeah. We're trying to pay attention to you guys. We do apologize.
But there's a little bit of controversy happening on the field. A couple questionable calls on corner kicks here for Calvary FC. But did we mention the current score? Sorry, and last player to call, Ethan Keane, number 21. Ethan Keane is a 2002 born as well.
Oh, he's going the opposite way.
See, a little controversy. Let's just hope
this is so heated for a friendly.
Yeah, let's hope that these aren't the rules that are going to be calling CPL.
Definitely not. They definitely are not going to be calling CPL.
No, not after this game. But easy guy. Oh, no, the refs. Don't care about the refs.
Is there like a blacklist of referees? You're on the list.
There's got to be one. But to see a couple 16-year-old boys out here for Foothills, Dylan, care to talk on, to see obviously the restructuring of Foothills this year, major restructuring going from where they were last year to this year, and kind of talk a little bit about what's going on there.
Well, I think, obviously this team is going to be so different. Different coach, different, starting 11 practically with a handful of guys. Tofa's back and a few others. But, I mean, this team's going to have to redefine what type of team they are. They're going to have to be... they're going to have to be fast and they're going to have to be skilled, I think, to compete in the USL 2. Because that's kind of, in years past when we've seen Foothills have their struggles, it was against those kinds of teams. So I feel like, the Tommy legacy's over. And now it's interesting to see what can transpire in the next few years and see what actually we're dealing with here in Foothills. And now this team has become not a feeder team, but essentially that's what they are. And now they have to understand that you might only get one, maybe 2 years with some of your best players. It almost goes into like a U Sports rotation of now you have 3 or 4 years with a guy. It's even less than that. It's you get maybe 1 or 2 years. And if your star player doesn't get picked up as a developmental team, you're not doing something right.
Yeah, and I think that's really, you kind of hit it on the head there. I think Foothills is really embracing its role now as a developmental team. And you see that with the youth on the squad. What do we say? We figured average age on the squad. Sub 20 to 22 years old.
Yeah, I'm gonna say you're probably about right on that one.
And it's like you were playing against the U20 teams or whatever of Portland and Seattle and stuff like that, and you were playing against them with arguably a CPL team last year. So I feel like now that standard has to be erased from people's memory, and you have to go in and know that they're young guys and they're gonna make some mistakes and stuff like that and embrace it.
Yeah, and these are bang on. These guys are the next up-and-coming players that are coming through our system, and now these guys are playing in our own country. So there was a lot of talks of, well, what happens with Foothills? Do they fold? Are they affiliated? Well, there's a loose affiliation now because, obviously, in order to play in the USL League 2, you cannot pay the players in order to maintain the NCAA sanction, correct, as it is with any NCAA sport. But now these guys have a direct pathway in their own city, in their own country, to now pursue something. So are we going to start seeing maybe a couple more, or does this open up the door for maybe that, there's always the talks about the relegation promotion. Ooh, Jordan Smith looks like he just caught something in the eyes there from Danny Harrison.
And I mean, this is not different. The teams out in Ontario have good connections with a lot of their coaches. Victoria still has the Highlanders. We just saw McCurdy sign with Pacific, another Highlander. So we're not the only one here. So I feel like if anything, this is going to help, whether or not the USL 2 wants more Canadian teams joining, when they've very clearly, the United States have told Ottawa Fury to get on back to Canada.
Nobody really. I mean, I'm at that point now that I'm not as an organization, but I feel bad for the Fury fans because there's a lot of unknown factors.
The Fury fans have taken a lot.
It's like Edmonton when there was so much questioning and stuff like that when the Eddies eventually folded. Like, you're just kind of like, where do we go from here?
And I think that, and this is not to talk bad about FC Edmonton, I think that that whole, closing the team out or finalizing the team, whatever would happen there, when they decided they weren't going to operate anymore under the NASL side of things, was that just strategic? Or was it actually we don't know what we're doing? To me, I think it was strategically done to say, we're shutting our doors. The fat guys are moving out of the NASL side of things because they were big players on the money side. And they said, you know what? We're shutting the doors on that and restarting because it's a separation from the financial side, I think, more than anything.
Definitely financial side of stuff. Because now you look at the paychecks a lot of these players are making.
Yeah.
There's a way you're going to match that.
But NASL money compared to CPL money is very close.
That far off from their wages to regulations.
And that was a big, they were like, well, what do we do with our players? Well, they farm sale the team. They did a fire sale already with the team, and they were complaining about the cap being too low. But the cap in the CPL is not far off of what the USL's was. So, yeah, I mean, you'd have to lose a couple pieces, but I think it's more of that entity. So now do we see Ottawa
do
the same thing?
You sell them with a loan deal back.
Exactly.
That's...
Why didn't you do that? So I think
that
opens up...
That is smart. I never actually thought of that.
That's actually a really good way to put it. Think about it.
I should be the manager of
the
Ottawa.
So we're going to start our own CPL team in Penticton area for... That's his home.
The Salmon Arm Sockeyes. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Salmon Arm.
Come on, you fish!
I think at least the mascot would kind of fit in with all the CPL mascots that have come in.
Are we going to talk about that? Do we about that? Is that going to be its own video?
No. We're on it. I mean, we got 45 minutes to talk during this game, so...
That is something else. I've seen the mascot. I haven't found one I like yet.
I do not agree with him even having a mascot. Any of these teams.
Well, it's very like North American sport.
Yeah.
I understand why they had to do it. You know, it's still trying to endear yourself to the world of North America sports fans.
North America sports fans want to see cheerleaders, not mascots.
No, but every sport.
Harvey the Hound is the most popular mascot.
First mascot in the NHL as well.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. You gotta commit to that. I guess.
There's lots. Look at the guys.
Who was the first one to announce? It was York, right?
No, was it York or was it Helm or Forge?
Forge's.
Yeah. That was Edmonton.
Forge, the Barney character.
The dragon.
I'm not a big fan of that one. And then you got FC Edmonton with the blue lightning or blue
rabbit.
It's a rabbit. Which kind of fits into their whole theme better than I think what anybody else is.
Who's the tentacles person?
Patrick Starfish.
That's specific. To be fair.
Sorry, not Patrick Starfish.
That is due to the whole purple color scheme is because of the starfish that they have in the area.
Yeah, but it looks like...
It does not look great, though.
Patrick Starfish and Grimace had a baby.
I've seen that on Twitter.
He is now...
It's like they saw Gritty and they're like, can we make our own twist on Gritty?
Yeah.
Gritty's all attitude. I'm sorry.
Gritty's crazy.
Gritty lives on attitude. Without that attitude, he's nobody.
Yeah, that's true.
Fun fact, though, I don't think Cavalry has announced a mascot yet.
What do you do? Do we do another? That would be another horse in the city.
Because you can't really bring another horse to the city.
Because who has the horse?
Actually, no.
Cavalry Stampeders have the horse. You can't really bring the horse.
Oh no, you can't. Horse
name McHorseface. I don't know what his name is. What's the horse's name? I don't know. Do you know?
Stampeder's horse?
Yeah.
No. That's a dog.
Harvey.
No, he's a dog too. That's right.
The horse is for the Calgary Stampede.
That's right. You'd assume, but then again, now we're mimicking what the Stampeders have because they have a horse.
I don't know.
I think Stampeders
does an actual horse running down the side when they score a touchdown.
So to round it out, we've got Valor had the lion. I actually enjoyed their announcement video where they took all the pro mascots and they were like playing cards in like a dingy basement and they're like, welcome to the mascot club of Winnipeg.
Yeah, that was good. I think he looks
the most realistic.
Yeah, like a slick back version of the Cowardly Lion, I think. He's like the cooler version of it.
He reminds me of the mascot for the England Olympics. Or not the Olympics, the World Cup. They had that lion. Yeah. And then what was that other one that just got announced? It was someone just announced one today, wasn't it?
Or not today, earlier in the week.
Halifax.
The dog, yeah. So I mean really nothing
animal.
Yeah, but an animal. I mean it's kind of the
So we've got dragon, dog, lion,
starfish.
Isn't there a bumblebee somewhere?
No.
That's Norman.
It's
a bumblebee.
That's right. Wow.
So we'll touch on a couple other things here going on in the world of soccer. The CPL Fantasy app, did you guys have a chance to look at that yet?
I've took a peek online. I think that was on CanPL. Definitely looks interesting.
So if you go to the app and then you're able to predict the score, who's going to score first, who scores second, final score, a couple other things, they give you the option to.
What are the prizes? Out.
I don't know yet.
It's not like an official betting app, though.
No, it's not betting. Okay. It's not betting. But there's a couple of things there to choose from. A couple of things that I know Harry wanted to do. But yeah, if you get a chance, go check out that fantasy app. It's cool. Game day, prior to the game, you can select what's going on. There's a point system. I didn't really look too much into what you win out of it or what you get out of it. But let's
Canadian,
go with the... Yeah, so... What was your prediction for game one in the CPL? Obviously it's finished, we know the final score, but what was your prediction prior? Did you have your Forge winning or no?
I had York winning.
So it started off that way, it started off right and then late. I thought Forge was going to take it, I thought it was going to be like a 2-0, 1-0 type thing, but Dylan?
I had, for the first game, it was going to be a barn burner. I had 3-2 to York.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be like very high scoring, like fast pace, like, you know, it's the first game, bit of nerves, like maybe a bit of defensive blunders, but it was very much the opposite.
Yeah, the game was actually very well played and there was not, I mean, obviously guys still trying to find their feet, but it was very well played. There wasn't too much. Oh, Dominic Malonga, oh, can't get in. Game two tomorrow kicking off, it's the Coast to Coast Derby, or I don't know, we'll label it the Coast to Coast Derby because that's just, it's Halifax Pacific. One of the most traveled games in the sport worldwide. 7,000 kilometers. I think there's only...
Russia has to have something longer.
I think there's only
that.
one other one. I believe it is Russia that is the long distance.
Sold out for that game. Pacific, 100% sold out. That's crazy.
You were saying something about standing crowd only?
Yeah, just standing tickets, I think they're trying to sell just to pack it in even more, West Hill Stadium.
To be awesome.
And it's not even in downtown Victoria. Like, it's in Langford. It's a bit of a drive. But people are so excited.
Yeah. Prediction, Pacific home against Halifax.
Pacific beating Halifax.
I'm going to go devil advocate here. I'm going to say Halifax with a 2-1 victory.
Wow.
Hey.
Being a Pacific supporter.
Hey, I'm from BC, but I got to understand that our teams are riddled with misery. Have you not seen the Canucks, the Whitecaps, the BC Lions?
Yeah.
The struggle is real.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a limb and say... I think Pacific will take that game 2-1 over Halifax. I think, 2-0. I think Halifax is going to have trouble finding the net because I just think I've really, in my head, I have it kind of buried in my head. I think they're super defensive minded and they're gonna struggle with that.
Well, goal scoring. Their top players are you know the Trinidadian ones that they've brought in, and they're all kind of defensive and the goalkeeper and all that stuff. And that's all that's been talked about in the media.
Tofa with a shot. Marco
spills it.
Oh.
Ooh, Foothills could not get the goal just about there.
65 minutes in, Foothills almost levels.
So yeah, so still 1-0 goal from, not sure because we missed it when we were having technical difficulties. Didn't catch it.
But
who scored the goal? We'll go game 3, May 1, Wednesday, back in Pacific again. And this time they're hosting Valor FC at Winnipeg.
A lot of people have Valor going very far this year.
You know
from
what?
The guys I've talked to.
Mm-hmm. Valor didn't have the greatest time in Dominican, from my understanding. They lost the DR team. So I don't know. I have a feeling that Pacific is going to take this one as well. I think this one will be a little closer. But I think this one's going to be a physical game. I'm going to go 2-1 Pacific over
Valor.
Over Valor.
I'm going to go Valor. I'm going to go 3-1. They're going to blow them out.
I'm going to go... I feel like Pacific will be mad that they lost their home opener in my prediction world. So I'd say they come back and storm out to a 4-0 victory.
Whoa. Wow. That's heavy.
I gotta go big or go
very
home.
Very bold.
I honestly came into this season expecting there to be goals galore. I could be very much wrong.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, that's what we want to see. Just every game, 5 goals in every game would be ideal and kind of the
not if you're a goalkeeper, but I feel like there could be a lot of games that maybe are more on the higher scoring side, but who knows?
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, true.
That is true.
Let me go over to May 4th, and we have all the way going out to the Atlantic side of things. Halifax Wanderers, Forge F's host Forge FC.
Oh,
in Halifax.
That's a tough one. Like, I believe Forge will win, but there's something telling me inside. It'll be Halifax.
I kind of want to give them that home field advantage, you know, the whole spectacle of it. I'm going to go Halifax as well. Score's going to be a hard one to predict, 1-0 maybe, but...
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a lot of goals to be potted in at all.
Yeah.
Dylan?
1-1 draw.
See, that's not a bad prediction either.
1-1 draw. I feel like they are going to be a pretty evenly matched series. I think that it could be very, very dingy and kind of defense gets stuck in. Like, it's Halifax we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think low scoring game, but I think Halifax will edge out. So me and Harry got Halifax and Dylan going in the other draw there. Let's take that May 4th, stay May 4th, but now we're coming back to Calgary. Home opener for Calgary FC at ATCO Field, where we are
beautiful
currently
field.
Hosting York 9 FC. Now we've seen York a little bit, kind of get to the gist of how they play, but still, I mean, good ball, obviously. Prediction for the home opener here in Calgary.
York, 3-1.
York didn't look like they got outplayed by
they did, but they do have that opportunity to stop, regroup for next week.
How many games is this?
For York, that'll be their second game.
So they'll miss their captain. He'll be suspended, Manny.
He's got to be out.
He's got to be suspended. So they wouldn't have him. So I would say maybe like, I hate to do this, but like a 0-0 draw. Like Calgary, wow. Just keep him at bay. It could be something like that.
So in Dominican Republic, Calgary did play York twice, beat them both times 1-0.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stay on that trend and think that Calgary will dominate them and take the whole thing. And I'm going to say, I'm going to take that score that Harry threw, but I'm going to reverse it. And I'm going to say Calgary's going to take that one.
You guys are giving way too much credit to home team. I feel like the visitors here are going to, not here specifically,
I don't believe
but
I've actually
like
really picked any home teams to win.
I don't know.
Pacific.
Okay, fine.
You
Pacific,
pick Pacific
and then Halifax.
And you pick Forge.
Halifax.
Oh no, you said York. Never mind.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
So you're kind of.
It's not corrected.
I feel like the home advantage is going to be a thing
here. Forge and Halifax. Yeah.
Although travel could be huge.
That's what I mean. That's why I think home teams are going to have a bit of an advantage because it's not like a 1-hour bus ride.
It's going to be home, but in a sense, a lot of these teams will be home opener jitters. They're going to lose.
Yeah, could very well go that
especially
way.
Especially in the first season. We want to start our season with a win. We want to start our home opener with a win. Like, there's so much pressure maybe putting on themselves.
Pretty cool. As we sit here looking out and we're seeing that now, it is actually UC full medals now. On the lettering on the stands and behind now, you can actually see it all. A couple guys are talking about the feel of the stadium here. It's got that bit of a kind of Craven Cottage Fulham. Feel to it in the stands. And I kind of really like it. That was kind of one of my favorite stadiums. I just like the way it was set up.
For the sake of Calgarians, hopefully there's more home wins than in Fulham.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Fulham had a bit of a rough go there. Let's give one more team here. Foothill or FC Edmonton travel to Winnipeg to play Valor FC game one. Also on May 4th, playing just after the Calgary York game. FC Edmonton away, Harry, prediction?
FC Edmonton. I'm going to go 1-0.
Big up the Eddies. I'm going to go with Valor, unfortunately. I'm going to go 2-1.
Wow.
I feel like there's got to be goals in almost every game, albeit I predicted a 0-0. But like, I feel like it's just going to be high scoring.
Simon?
I got to go with Harry on this one, actually. I think Eddies, up the Eddies. Let's go, boys. I don't know why I said that.
It is on camera.
Yes, I know. It is. Cut that. I think Eddie's 1-0 over Winnipeg.
Yeah, yeah.
How did FC Edmonton do in the Dominican?
They beat the DR team. Calgary beat them 4-0, and Edmonton beat them 4-1. And then the Edmonton lost to Halifax 1-0, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Dylan Pauly in net for that one conceded the goal.
Are they going to go with game day decision Pauly, or are they... They'd have to go with
Pauly,
right?
Well, they're fighting. No, they're fighting. They're still... They don't know.
Because when we watched...
Kind of flip a coin,
when
right
we watched
before,
him at State, Pauly started. Pauly that started, and he conceded.
And then Connor came in.
Connor came, conceded a pen.
Yeah.
Seemed to... From what I saw, and I'm more familiar with Connor, I felt like he held the... You know, helped communicate with the back line a lot more clear than Dylan Pauly. But, I mean, Pauly's got that pro experience with FC Gutes and Sweden.
So if you had to... throw out a between the two. If you're put yourself in Jeff Paul's shoes right now.
Yeah.
Connor James or Dylan Pauly. Ball's coming. Dylan Pauly, Connor James.
Like I said, I thought it was gonna be a Dylan Pauly simple decision from the get-go. He's had lots of experience in the past. We've had the pleasure of seeing him at Foothills. He's a really acrobatic keeper that can pull out the stellar save. But I don't know if they're already still fighting for it. That shows me that the coach doesn't have confidence in his goalies, and it's this close to the season starting.
Or he has.
Or he's just trying to develop James into a better keeper.
And he's keeping it tight lipped. Harry, would you, if you put yourself in Paul's shoes, who are you taking?
I said Pauly all day, every day.
I got a little bit of a soft spot. I don't really know James all that much, but based, you know, exactly what you said, having that experience, FC Gut, he's played at the pro level. Yeah. He's played at that level. Does he communicate
he's,
with
he's
his team?
He's that goaltender that has like experience. Actual experience under his belt.
And I'm going to point out that Connor James played for a U of A Golden Bears team. That was very much one of the strongest in Canada CIS, West U Sports with a
true
very good back line behind him, which almost hurts him in that regard because he maybe hasn't had to face
that's
the same
true
adversity that Pauly had with an FC Gut team that wasn't the best in Sweden.
Correct. The only thing I think that works against Pauly is sometimes his communication with his players. Sometimes
yeah
you see him, he gets
yeah
he's heated, but that's his intensity. He's a super intense guy, but as a goalie, I mean, you look at, you can almost have that same argument in Calgary.
Yeah.
Marco Carducci and Nico Jansopoulos, they're both shown that they're both super high quality. The only difference is Marco is Calgarian local boy and Nico isn't, but they're both pretty par.
You almost got to start Marco though. You have no choice.
It's his job to lose though. I don't think Tommy would hesitate if he has a game like De Gea against Man City. Like if that's the performance he puts in, I feel like he is going to...
we don't need to talk about that.
I feel like he would not hesitate to go to Nico.
Okay, I would have to go on... I mean, looking at the schedules right now, and you got the Canadian Championship coming into play, where that makes Forge, FC Edmonton, and York have byes for round one, right? In the Canadian Championship.
Yeah.
So that puts extra pressure and added games to everybody else. So that puts Calgary, I think they have 7 games this month, which is massive.
So would you then have a cup keeper and a...
I think you would almost, I mean,
so you're running Marco in the league, Nico in the cups competition.
And then based on performances, do you maybe do a switch? So next thing Marco's lights out. So you want him to play, you know, let's say we get move on to the second round of the championship. And now we're facing FC Edmonton or whoever that may be at that time. I think a lot of it will be game time decision personally. I think, how do you decide which one of the two if they're both
that's
performing
true
well?
Does he do that for the whole roster though? Like beyond goalkeepers as well? Is he going to be putting out a cup roster in terms of a starting 11?
And I think that if you look at...
I mean, you need to be at your best because the cards are stacked against these CPL teams in their first
yeah
year.
Exactly.
And we're talking, there's going to be an upset, but it's a matter of, you know, getting the right combination against some of these bigger teams.
Yeah, I would say that looking at the depth that Tommy has in the team, the squad is very, very deep, I think. I think the quality of players, guys can step in and play different positions, different roles at any given time. So I don't think we're gonna have too much of an issue with the depth side of things. I think Calgary's probably, I'd say best, you know, everybody, you know, there was a talk of the dark horse, but I think, what was that power ranking? They put Calgary where? Third. Two.
Second, and I disagree.
That's just Harry's up by, he just doesn't like Calgary.
No, it's not that. I get it. I understand everybody talks
is that
about Calgary.
Post Marcel DeYoung or pre Marcel DeYoung?
I think that's, no, it's, he's stuck with it. He's stuck
I've
to his
I've always been like this. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what it is, and I get it. You know, Tommy is Tommy. Tommy's come from a big background of footy. You know, he's taken
but all these
this,
guys
he's
have
taken Foothills to you know, the USL championship.
Yeah.
He started this team. Everything is good. I think these guys are a little bit too old. They're not going to make it all the way through.
So you're thinking big push for the first half.
Here comes. Ooh. Well, that was out. Oliver Minutel just couldn't put it on net. Danny Hayfield did enough to get him off the ball and make him shoot it over the net.
Like right now, if you look at the power rankings with the CPL, they got Forge as one, Calgary as second, Valor's third, York 9 as fourth, FC Edmonton fifth, Halifax as sixth, Pacific in seventh.
I don't agree with the setup on that. I would say I'm going to put Forge one, I'm going to keep Calgary in two, but I'm going to bump Pacific up into three.
So top four, let's go top four.
Okay, so I'm going to say Forge, Calgary, Pacific, Eddies in that order.
Edmonton's going to be really young.
I think, but they got some Amiobi coming back in. You got some of the guys like, look at that, their center back, FC Edmonton center back.
Yeah.
Big boy, like he was pretty solid against Calgary.
Man, we saw him mountain.
Yeah. But I would have to say, based off what I've seen and known, and then looking at the results that we've seen out of Calgary already, beat York twice, beat the DR team 4-0, beat the Whitecaps.
Those are friendlies.
But it's still the same squad, though. Still the same squad.
I understand.
These games.
But there are other players that have just recently signed with some other teams. Like yesterday, 12 hours in.
There was a Chilean player that signed in second division that signed with York. Correct. I don't know if he played today, actually, to be honest.
I have no idea. And I don't.
Did they get the paperwork in time for that?
Probably, like, yeah. Maybe not in time. Maybe they can get him in time. But Harry, your top four.
No, Dylan, give me your top four.
It's tough. I don't know with this Calgary team. And then also the fact that you got to consider, do we see Calgary push heavy in that first half of the season and try to win that title and then the first part of the season title and then back it off in the second half and push for then the finals? I don't know. Because like Harry said, the team's pretty old. I don't know, like if we broke it down by the age, I don't know what the average age the most would
be. I think
be.
Somebody had done an average age and Calvary was right in the middle.
Oh, okay.
But it was a difference of a couple years up and down.
Yeah,
so the teams are, we do have a couple like Mason Trafford, Nick Ledgerwood, guys that are in their mid-30s.
I have a soft spot for Grams, but also
Nick Ledgerwood. top four?
I think it's got to be Calgary, I would say probably three or four. I put Pacific up there because I think even without DeYoung, they've got some good pieces there. From there, I feel like it's hard to break apart the other teams. Just I'm not personally as familiar with the other ones. I have been doing those profile videos and I've gotten to learn a little bit. For some reason, I just love the system that they're going to have in with Forge. I feel like they've got a good foundation. I feel like Forge could definitely maybe slip into the top three. And then I'm a sucker for Halifax, but I know that a lot of people aren't ranking them as high.
Yeah.
I feel like they could be my dark horse. So maybe let's, for the sake of a top four, let's do Forge, let's do Pacific, Calgary, and then Halifax squeaks in there.
Wow. So bad.
It is what it is. I know a lot of people are really high on Valor. A lot of people think Valor is going to be the creme de la creme this year.
I don't think I'm convinced by that either.
Especially if they lost to the DR team.
Yeah.
All due respect to the Dominican Republic, but I feel like, did they beat any other CPL team?
No, from my understanding, that was it.
Another Calgary player down. There was some
crazy.
That was some heat here a little bit. Tofu Fakuna get into it. Looks like with the guy off the sideline. Looked like that's Bo Fleury.
I love Tofa. Like, he's so small. He's awesome.
Yeah, Avila came off. He looks like he's moving a little slower. Don't know if that's a knock he took or just, again, maybe precautionary. But he does.
This might be the riskiest friendly to take part in.
I think, I mean, you run that
just
risk.
Just the atmosphere on the pitch is
you
just.
You run that risk any team at any professional level, no matter who you are, Real Madrid.
Well, I know
they're friendlies. You're always risking.
Calgary's played some of the local university teams, too, and I'm sure it's gotten somewhat heated. I don't know if they've played UFC. I know for sure they played Mount Royal for a little bit.
Yeah, they played MRU. They played against...
Sate? Did they play against Sate?
No, they didn't play Sate. They just played FC. They played FC. I think that one's a little outmatched big time. But to see Foothills at this caliber, this really speaks volumes, I think, for...
I'm excited for the Foothills season.
Yeah, so we'll be covering Foothills again for those of you that haven't followed us. We're covering them again this year, live streaming, be around it, you know, kind of everything that's going on there regularly, so typical. But predictions this year for the last 3 years, made playoffs, 2 years gone to the national final. Last year, obviously, stacked heavy with a lot of the guys that we see here. Now, what, two returning players? If you had to predict where Foothills is going to finish this year, you think playoffs? Let's just go easy. Playoffs, yes or no?
No.
How come? Just the change.
The change, and I think the coaching. Just the change, the players and the coaching. You're not going to see a playoff. No, you're not going to see a playoff.
Nico Pasquati, a little heavy on the touch, puts it across. Malonga with the touch in, and three Foothills players pouncing off the line. Wow. Dominic Malonga had that chance there.
You had to put that up because you had to see the three guys that were down there.
Harrison and two other guys I'm not 100%
Danny's
familiar
huge
with.
Though. And Danny at Mount Royal, Danny Harrison, like he was known for a goal line clearance. Like he was just a block, like shot blocking, heavy tackling, great in the air. That was how he scored his goal off a corner header.
All over, dude. Joel Waterman.
There's so much drama out here.
Joel Waterman's big boy too. Like he probably height-wise on Tofa, foot and a half.
Oh, guaranteed. And,
there's players out there that are two Tofas.
Tofa body though. Joel there a little bit. But they're boys, they're homies from back, way back when. Oh, shout out Elijah. We just celebrated a birthday, so happy birthday, Elijah.
It's great to see, like you said, because you've been a part of it for what now, five
can
years?
I just point something out real quick here? Look at the stands in the back.
Oh,
what would you say? What
there's got to be 250 people here.
Yeah, and this is, and the good thing is what we did see is the Rangers ball boys are all Rangers FC, Calgary Rangers. Saw some FC Edmonton colors out there.
Jackie's with Rangers. But
yeah,
you know.
Jackie with Foothills FC. Yeah, no. You got some Foothills guys over off to the side there. Chinooks maybe. Looks like we got quite a bit of the Calgary U squad. Yeah. So always great to see.
It gives this league and seeing the success of Foothills and seeing the hopeful success of Calgary, I think gives this city a lot of hope in terms of developing future stars of the game.
Yeah, I think
we're going to start seeing like Jadon Sancho-esque players, but instead of England, they're going to be Canada. We're going to see more Alphonso Davies. We're going to see more guys coming up.
More, do you think better?
I'd say like at least Alphonso Davies level, if not better. And we don't even know where Davies finishes up in the grand scheme of things because he's so young.
Yeah, and I think you're, and that's the thing with this, what this is opening up now, having Calgary doing its thing, having Foothills doing its thing, having AMSL raging its stature, the U20s for those unfamiliar, Foothills or Calgary FC's U20s and FC Edmonton's U20s have both joined Alberta Major Soccer League. We are in the process of working with, well, there's some things that may be happening with us and Alberta Major Soccer. So stay tuned for that. And that will be happening over the next week if anything does happen.
Calgary is such a boiling pot too, in terms of the city, like your background and my background are all very different. But like you look at the, what was it? The Nations Cup that they just had.
Correct.
I was out there trying out for a men's team and it was deafening. Like the people that are going out for the Nations Cup, which is not a high caliber competition,
definitely not a caliber.
But like enough that there are crazy amounts of fans with vuvuzelas and flags, like that's insane. That is not something that you're gonna get everywhere.
No, Chilean fans out there always causing the ruckus.
But see, that's also a nice thing, because if you look at Edmonton throws some of these same tournaments, and you look at the fans from Alberta, it is crazy,
but
it is very diverse. Alberta's very diverse compared to every other province.
And there's a lot of these hubs, like Vancouver and the Lower Mainland and the island are nuts about their soccer. And Ontario has been a hotbed for soccer forever in this country.
Correct.
So it's like there are these markets that are now finally getting tapped into, and it's gonna hopefully help spread the game and keep developing those guys. That was a big thing they focused on when we went to the press conference here like half a year ago, was they were talking about the journeys that some of these guys in Calgary have taken, like Graham Fisher, like Ryan Jackie, and some of those guys, and how they didn't have this avenue that now hopefully will be around for a long time.
Yeah. Correct. It's an avenue that never existed here. And even when, if you go back to the days of the CSL back in, what, we're pushing almost 30 years now, where we were all too young. Dylan wasn't even around.
It was just a glimmer.
It wasn't even a glimmer.
But like we...
You was just a spark.
Yeah, like that's it. Spark waiting to fly. There was nothing for us here. And it was always kind of disappointing because we had no choice but to watch what was going on TV, what was going on in the Whitecaps side of things. So I've always had a bit of a, you know, a little bit of a soft spot for the Whitecaps just because geographically where they are.
And they were a huge soccer story when they did do that huge run. And obviously this year is their, I can't remember what anniversary, but they are commemorating that, you know, the Village, they were called the Village of Vancouver by the US broadcasters. And like, I feel like—
it was in Martin Nash days back then.
Those times Nash was playing. Yeah, those times are gone though. Like, Canada now is on the board and we have, you know, 7 years to get us to the point where we're competing in our World Cup.
Correct.
And that's the ultimate goal here.
So let me ask you guys both a question then with that, in that same light. Not 2026, we're hosting. We're obviously going to be in that because we're hosting.
And there's 48 teams.
And there's, 500 teams playing in the World Cup that year. So every country's going to be playing. 2022 World Cup, Harry.
Oh, that was a little late.
I missed it.
Onyeka Batshuayi just kind of clipped his ankles late.
Oh, goodness.
Gets a yellow for it, number 3 from Foothills FC. Going back to the 2022 World Cup, does Canada qualify?
No.
You don't think, even with the updated?
No.
Oh, 2022. I think we're still too early in that point.
Correct.
I think it'll take a little bit longer. But I think after we host our World Cup, I think the precedent has been set. And I think if you're not qualifying from that point on, it's disappointing. People should be sacked. It's like the US not making a World Cup. Yeah. We should be at that standard where it should be Canada, United States, and Mexico every year making it.
100% agreed. Now we have.
We should be.
I don't know if I can agree with Mexico always making.
Well, let's no, for example, Honduras or whatever. Like, we should be in the upper echelon now of CONCACAF.
But Mexico is on another level.
Like, we should be winning gold cups. I want gold cups starting to rack up.
Great ball in.
Alfonso Davies is our captain. Like, I want us to be competing heavily.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I don't want us to be, ooh, we're there. I'm excited. Oh, we had an all-European group. Well, we didn't win a game or score a goal, but we were there.
Yeah, I think
those days are done.
So obviously, because 2026 are going to be.
Sorry, right? That was awesome.
I missed it. The statue was in my way.
Guess who it was here?
Tova?
Yep.
Number 11 on the field, number 1 in your hearts.
Yeah. Tova's number 1 in our hearts. We got a soft spot for Tova's man. He's. Charisma.
End of
the
season, we got Tova to react to Tova highlights.
Correct. We
like,
should.
Just like Tova going 2 foot into a guy.
In a friendly game
against
guys you've been playing with for the last 4 or 5 years. I really like the quality of this game and the late on Elijah there. Goes down in a heap. And that is also the player that just did that. That is, I can't remember his last name right at this moment, but first name is Charlie. Also 2002 born player. Plays with Foothills FC U17, the Gen team.
And going back to what we were talking about before, about playoffs, I'm kind of along the same line as Harry. There's a lot of change, but I'm a bit optimistic. I think they can squeak into a last playoff spot. I mean, our division is not the most competitive, dare I say it? Because there's like Seattle that's always really good. Portland's usually really good. And then it's kind of like a muddy middle area that you can probably still make playoffs. Like 2 years ago, before we won the USL 2, or the PDL, I guess at the time, championship, that was kind of an off year, the people at Foothills would say. But even then, it was still, you were up there. Because I feel like we're not in the strongest division out of the whole USL 2 now.
There was reports, they did call it group of death.
The group of
death. Northwest Division. And it's solely because of the...
That's full time. 1-0.
Full time score, 1-0.
They only wanted 1 minute of extra added on time. They were like, no more.
Guys, this is getting way too out of hand.
It's so heated.
Kick at each other. But that fared well for Foothills FC.
I'd say that's more impressive from a Foothills perspective than a Cav. And obviously they might not be going 150%, but with the lineup roster like that was fielded.
Yeah. You know, maybe Calgary more of, maybe this game for Tommy was more of a, not a score line, but our shape. Let's focus on maintaining our shape. which Foothills and Leon stepping in, Leon Hapgood stepping in as head coach of Foothills FC, assistant coach, has been with Tommy for years. Similar systems across the board. So Leon does know what he's doing, very much so on that side of things. He is a guy that just being on the backside and knowing and traveling with them over the years, his focus is he's very intelligent when it comes to the product on the field and how they mesh well. So that's why I think that you see this team now and how young they are. They're pretty damn good. Like they're not, they're, I think they're gonna surprise them a little more. I think they'll squeak in the playoffs.
I'm thinking squeaking in. Like they're not gonna be leading the league like it was last year where they lost one game.
Yeah.
But like I think they've got enough in the, and it's evident today. I think they can stick it tough with some good teams.
So I'm really, I mean, on that note, I think we've kind of
touched base on everything.
Really, at this note, maybe we'll go try and catch some interviews with some of the guys. But overall, great. Thanks for coming up, boys.
Well, yeah, it was a good day.
It was a bit cold. Yeah. I'm starting to feel a little bit of the chill now. You see, I had my hands in my pockets a couple times. But overall, great game. Super excited. Tomorrow, we have game two of the CPL. That one might be watching from the comfort of our own home. But 1-0 Cavalry FC, anything else you wanted to touch on before we say goodbye?
No, just can't wait for the rest of the season to kick off, see the rest of the teams, you know, touch a ball.
Yeah, same thing. I'm just excited to finally get the recognition that Canada has been trying to earn all these years.
Yeah, today was almost that huge like weight lifted off our shoulders. Like we've been, how long have we been talking about today? For how long have we been talking about this day to happen?
Years.
And now all of a sudden it's just, it's here, it's happened, it's good. We're there. Thank you, soccer gods, for giving Canada a
voice. Opportunity.
And yeah, we have a voice.
Let's just make sure this league does not crumble.
I don't think it's going anywhere. We're here to stay because of the people, I mean, like us, the people all across Canada that are backing this thing wholeheartedly and sinking everything into it. And you see that from the quality and the money that's backing these teams. But really on that note, thanks again for tuning in, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.